It's time for Rebel Extra. This is your team, Las Vegas, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 364-1100. That's 364-1100. Now, live from the Finley Toyota Studios, it's Bernie Fratto and John Von Tobel.
Well, it was a game for the ages, and, well, frankly, I don't even know what that means. But after Northern Arizona tied the game at 3-3 in the first minute, from that point forward, the UNLV Running Rebels, they lived up to their name. They pushed tempo, they played with great energy and confidence, and they looked like they were ready to play right from the jump, figuratively and literally. And it showed big time in the box score and on the scoreboard, as UNLV proved to be very rude hosts to the visiting Northern Arizona Lumberjacks. And Marvin Menges, well, his Chargers gathered their third win in a row, running the early season record to 3-1 by a final score of 110-71. I guess all in all, you could say it was a golden night in the city of Las Vegas. I'll apologize for that one later, folks. Welcome back to another edition of Rebel Extra, the postgame show devoted to you, the fans and supporters of UNLV Runner Rebel Basketball. Rebel Extra is brought to you by our proud sponsors, Angel Park Legacy in Durango Hills, OB Sports' most complete golf course experiences in Las Vegas, Diamondback Land Surveying from Brick Walls to the Taj Mahal. Diamondback Land Surveying are your land surveying experts. 8-Ball Bail Bonds. If you had more fun at the game than the law allows, call 8-Ball Bail Bonds to get you out of jail. Pizza My Dear with a smoke and lunch deal, a 12-inch pizza for only $5 with two locations to serve you. Go to pizzamydear.com. We'll be coming to you after every game this season, and we want to hear from you. This is your team, Las Vegas. Give us a call, 364-1100, and you can be a part of the action tonight. Or you can text your thoughts at 69187. Please preface your text with ESPN. Now, before we go any further, let me introduce my broadcast team to my left, turning all the dials, keeping us glued together, is producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado. He'll also be taking your calls at 364-1100. And to my right, of course, the gentleman you hear every day on Cofield & Company, that would be John Von Tobel. John, this is Las Vegas. As we know, the Rebels were 14-point favorites heading into tonight's game. Who knew it would be this easy?
Yeah, I did not know, that's for sure. When I heard that the number was 14, I was not comfortable at all. If I were to put money on it, not comfortable at all with this team in lane 14. And it's not that they're a bad team, but it's just you didn't know what kind of a team you were going to get yet.
Right.
And I thought it was pretty fair. And then you watched them tonight, and it was whistle to whistle. The effort was there on both sides of the ball, forcing turnovers, scoring off those turnovers, running more than we've seen them run. It was a fun game to watch for sure.
Fun is the key word. We've got a lot of ground to cover tonight as we start to look ahead to the remaining nine games on the non-conference schedule. We'll make some predictions, have a little fun. One of the topics I want to put out there tonight, folks, based on what you saw tonight, this is a 39-point win. Now, the Washington Huskies, who come to town, a Power 5 team, they beat the same Northern Arizona team by 34. I don't know if there's such a thing as transitive property in college basketball, but based on what you saw tonight, all right, so there are nine non-conference games remaining on the schedule. You know, aside from the Southern Utahs and Incarnate Word and Southern Illinois, you don't pass anybody, but you'll have six games against Power 5 conferences: Duke, Arizona State, Oregon, Kansas, TCU, and I guess you could play Western Kentucky, depending on what happens in their game versus Washington this week, but I'm going to put them in that category as well because they're a powerhouse. But JVT, three keys heading into tonight's game I put in my notes. One, defend the perimeter. I was told that the Northern Arizona team was a good shooting team, so you don't want to give them, you know, open looks. And it's my understanding when Coach Menzies' emphasis in practice this week on defense was two things: defend the high-low, pressure the passer so they don't get catches down low in free space. Same with the perimeter. Get out to the perimeter and defend your man. Don't give him a catch in free space. So defend the perimeter, control the boards. Well, there's no doubt there. The Rebels had 50 rebounds. And intelligent offensive possessions. What can you say? They scored 110 points.
Yeah, and when it comes to defense, I was actually really impressed on how they would close out on their shooters. And you would have guys rotate over to help defend another man, and you would see another man just fill right in and run a guy off the three-point line. And it was really, like I said, you know, they seem to be improving from game to game. And obviously you don't want to take too much out of this one, but you can watch them on the floor and you can realize that, especially defensively. I mean, going into game one, dribble penetration was a big issue, but they seem to be just slowly improving little by little, and that's always a positive sign.
A couple of storylines heading into the game. No Christian Jones tonight. We'd asked ourselves, how would you replace 14.7 rebounds? He has some sort of nonspecific injury. Apparently, it's precautionary. Do you have any updates?
Mark Anderson tweeted out Christian Jones and Shekna Dembele each battling foot injuries. I hope to know more in a day or two.
Okay, of course, Shekna's had the foot injury for quite a while. I'm curious, though, and we look forward to having Mark on. He has a 10:15 deadline, but Friday night I think we're going to have him on, and probably again Saturday. You wonder if it's a foot injury sustained in practice in a game. Was it a fluke? Did he come down? Did he roll an ankle? What, you know, I guess we're guessing at this point. So, and of course, Coach Murphy coming back to Las Vegas, where he has great respect for the Rebels. Unfortunately, the Rebels didn't. Well, maybe they showed his Northern Arizona Lumberjacks a little bit too much respect. All right, this is your team, Las Vegas. We want to hear from you. This is a call-in show, 364-1100. Lot to get to tonight. So as always, let's go out to the phone lines. And we're joined by Kevin. Kevin, thanks for checking in tonight on Rebel Extra. You always get us started. You're up.
Hey, guys, how about all those points, huh? It's great to see a 110 put up, huh?
Well, the last time the Rebels did that, it was a team from Canada, St. Catharines, a couple years ago over at the Orleans Arena. And I didn't see that coming, Kevin. I really didn't see that coming tonight.
Yeah, that St. Catharines team, that university is now defunct. It doesn't even have a program, but you got to win when you can.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't even have a program anymore. They're actually... Not to step on your heels. They're based out of Southern California. It was like a startup school, and they shut their doors.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. My bad. Thanks, Kevin. There is a St. Catharines in Toronto, but it's not even a college. Good night, folks. Kevin and JVT will be hosting the rest of the show tonight.
No. Hey, that happens to all of us. Hey, could you guys talk about JVT and Bernie the next month? What do you guys see? I mean, 110 points is a lot of points. What do you guys see for the upcoming month when they play this powerhouse schedule? Do you think they could score that type of points against those teams, or is it going to be more of a grinded out?
I want to ask you a question before this is going to be a topic question that everybody's going to have to answer if they call in tonight. Based on what you're seeing in these three games, especially tonight, do you have hopes that the Rebels can knock off a Power 5 conference team between now and December 28th when conference play starts as the Rebels will visit Colorado State?
Not really, no. And not trying to be negative or anything like that. I just what they did great tonight, kind of like John was talking about, I mean, when you can test shots, you can – I mean, that's big, but against those high-power teams, those players are used to contested shots. So I think – you know, NEU is a low major Division I team. So when you play against those high major teams, they're going to use to those contested shots. So I think they'll have a hard time, Bernie. But, you know, I think, you know, the people around the Valley, they'd rather see games like this, high scoring, and we're not coaches. But let's get up and down and ball up a little bit.
Fair enough. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate you checking in. And the Rebels certainly did that tonight. They were pushing tempo. And they were very active on defense. Coach wants them to get deflections. They did that. There was better ball movement. They gave Northern Arizona nothing.
Yeah.
And I, as you said, and you're spot on, there's legitimate improvement.
Mm-hmm. And you saw that when you can get defensive rebounds and when you can force turnovers, that leads to fast break opportunities. And they took advantage of it tonight. And I believe they scored, what did they have today in fast break points? I'm trying to find in all of these. 26 fast break points tonight. So, you know, they did. They pushed the
Love
tempo
that.
A lot more. Yeah. And they pushed the tempo a lot more. As far as scoring 100 points, I don't think that's going to be the norm here. Obviously, you have to look at the competition that they're playing.
Right. You have to be honest about that.
Yeah. And in terms of knocking off a Power 5, I think your best opportunity is coming up here at the Thomas & Mack on Friday.
What stuck out to me is the athleticism. I may have somewhat underrated the athleticism this team had. Chris Wynn, Philly host here, and of course, with Seton Ed. Text in, very impressed with Troy Baxter Jr. on the offensive end. The kid had a sweet flush, and then he knocked down a three the very next possession. Very solid. That's true. When it was 96-64, Troy Baxter comes in, an extremely athletic slam dunk, and then a three. And Baxter, 13 points in only 17 minutes tonight. That's a lot of production. I don't care who you're playing against.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's fair now for folks to begin to wonder and speculate and look ahead to some of the more difficult games on the schedule And, John, one of the things I want to do tonight is come clean on something. It's now out in the ether, and I'm okay with it because I'm going to own up to it. I'm not going to shrink from it. About 3 weeks ago, based on what I saw, I predicted the Rebels would win 10 games this year. Now, let me give that some inflection, and I'm not backing down from that. Let me give that some inflection. Let me give that some context. In 2008, when Tom Crean took over the Indiana Hoosiers, they went 6-25. They had gone 25-8 the year before. Then Kelvin Sampson left, very unceremonious fashion. One of the most storied programs in all of college basketball, they went 6-25. The following year, they won 10 games, and they won 12. Then they got into the tournament, and the rest is history. So in making that prediction, it's not an indictment of anything. I think we have a fabulous coach. He cobbled together in a very short order a very impressive recruiting class. But this is a daunting schedule in an improved conference, and we haven't gone on the road yet. And if you're looking backward in terms of road games and Power 5 conference games, et cetera, and I don't want to get too deep into this tonight, there was a fair amount of thought I put into arriving at that number. Now, this will be one of those situations where we'll be very pleasantly pleased to be wrong. But we'll see. I don't believe we've been tested yet. And that's what needs to happen next. I will tell you, Coach Menzies hired April 15th. The hiring is an A+. Why? He's got great command of the job. He knows how to recruit. He knows how to X and O. He knows how to game plan. He obviously relates extremely well to people. And as you said, you just gave him probably the best compliment you can give a coach. They're improving. There's discernible improvement. Where have you seen the biggest improvement in the last 8 days?
I'll probably go on individual player level. Like Javon Mooring tonight looked better, and he's looked better in every single game. And tonight he looked more in control of his game. He looked more selective with his shots. And on top of that, his jumper, it looks really pretty. He had a moment where he hit a jumper on the baseline on the right side, and he kind of shielded his guy off and lifted up. He has a really pretty shot, and I think he's also got an opportunity to sit here. And the two-guard set with him and Jalen works really well. And with Mooring improving more and more, if he can take over that point guard role, settle his game
exactly
down, and I think he's going to be a great option at point guard. And then you can obviously, like we've been talking about, move Poizer off the ball. But I think improvement-wise, individual player, Jovan's got my eye for sure.
Fair enough. And, of course, tonight marked his fourth ever Division I game. So it stands to reason that as he becomes more comfortable with the speed and athleticism of the game at the Division I level, he should improve. Now, I was on with Mitch and Pritch today, and Mike Pritchard brought up an excellent point about Marvin Menzies and how a key tenet of his mission this year is development, individual development, and, of course, team development, collective. You want to make the whole better than the sum of its parts. You mentioned Javon Mooring's shot. I've got to believe they work with that in practice because he's got it in the cookie jar. He's proven he can do it. You know what really caught my eye tonight, and I know this sounds odd, but when the score was 101-64, the last minute and a half of the game was almost the most exciting for me because the game was decided. I'm going to tell you why. Okay. Zion Morgan checks in. Has he played all year, or was tonight his first action?
We'll have to check. He might have had a couple minutes.
So he's a freshman out of Kenwood Academy in Chicago. He checks in, immediately gets a layup, and he checked in when it was 99-64. Zion Mooring puts them over the century mark. Marvin Menzies calls timeout. He wants to make sure he gets Jalen Ballou in the game. Jalen Ballou, the freshman out of St. Paul High School in Port Arthur, Texas, a 6-foot guard. Instantly, Jalen Ballou makes his presence known. And he gets a steal, takes a layup coast to coast, and he's fouled. The place went nuts. Now, I missed a free throw, but just to watch him do it. Just prior to that, Zion Mooring had some guy D up on him one-on-one. He bolted to the hole, bodied up on his defender, shielded like a good-looking player, got the layup in the end one, missed the layup. What does it matter? But they're just getting started. A minute later, Georgi Slavanchinin hits his third three to break the score 108-66.
My boy. That's my favorite guy by far.
He's like your fan favorite.
Yep. Oh, for sure. During the first exhibition.
You just kind of like his body language. You like his exuberance.
He sold me the second when he signed his letter of intent. They had a great picture of him just holding the basketball rim and he just looking all menacing. I was in the second I saw that picture.
He had you at hello.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I was so mad. I think it was the first exhibition game where Marvin only put him in for 2 minutes, and I was like, come on, you got to get him in there. And look at, I'm right. He's a stretch five. He's going to be awesome. But along the lines of development,
he actually could, if these shots are legit. That's true. I know you're kidding around, but wait a minute. Anytime, I got to tell you, you know who NBA guy? Everybody chill. I'm not. NBA scouts love guys that are 6'10 with a perimeter game. That's the new rage.
Yeah. And it goes along the same vein of Marvin and improving and being a good coach. You know, if we've seen them improve from game to game to game, I think a lot of the guys on this roster have a very high ceiling. So if he can develop their game, I mean, down the road, they'll be a pretty decent team.
By the way, a quick non sequitur before we get back into the game. The Rebels are, all of a sudden, you're starting to hear these national recruits, a 6'5" guard out of Tennessee, Chattanooga, by the name of Shai Alexander. He today narrowed his choices to Kentucky, UCLA, Texas, Syracuse, and UNLV.
Wow.
Now, about 3 hours ago, it's my understanding he chose Kentucky.
Okay.
But if you're mentioning Kentucky and UNLV in the same sentence, that's not a bad spot to be.
This is about the third kid we've seen just in this recruiting class alone that's done that. And in that short of time for Marvin, that's pretty good. It's pretty impressive.
I got to ask you a question. When people see the style of play that they saw tonight and putting up 100 points and being a pleasing, you know, team to watch in terms of excitement, that helps recruiting, that helps attendance.
Oh, of course, it helps everything. And Marvin's a pretty charismatic guy. I'm sure that helps a lot too. He can probably go in and command a room and get these kids' attention, and he can show that, hey, I'll improve your game if you come over here. Like I said, in the short amount of time that he's had to kind of set up a recruiting base with these kids, especially just here at Las Vegas, the late start he got, that's pretty impressive.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and let's not forget, one of his players in New Mexico State that he brought in.
First-round pick.
Number 8 overall.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to achieve your life goals, Marvin Menzies can help get you there. One of the things I noticed tonight, John, as well, by the 16-minute mark. Now, at this point, the score was 11-3. 8 Rebels had already checked into the game. First 4 minutes of the game. We talked about this. I threw that out there. Is it feasible? Is it plausible to have a 10-man rotation even when you get into conference?
I would think, I'm not sure about this one yet. I just don't know how guys like Slavonchin, for example, as much as I love him, right? I don't know how much he'll be able to copy this kind of a performance. And if you can't really provide as much, then you're going to see your minutes decline. So guys like him, maybe we'll see them fall off. Maybe he won't go as deep as 10. Maybe it'll be about 7 or 8. But even then, that's a decent amount, especially in a tough conference where road games are going to be really hard for him.
Give the Rebels credit for winning tonight. Other than Air Force, who got by Stetson, the Rebels were the only other team in the Mountain West to get a W as Wyoming falls to Pacific. St. Mary's takes out San Jose State 81-64, Purdue over Utah State by 21, 85-64, and Fresno State loses to Cal State Bakersfield. Rodney Terry's a hell of a coach. They must be down this year.
Yeah, I thought they would actually be better. But, yeah, 2-2. I think it's their first road game, so maybe they'll improve. And once Mountain West Conference play starts, these teams feast on each other.
Yeah, everything changes.
For sure.
All right, he's John Von Tobel. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're going to take our first break of the evening. Rebels win tonight 110-71 on a very golden night in Las Vegas. We want to hear from you folks. Boy, yes. Did I get a dirty look from Bobby Machado just there.
One.
Yeah, but we're going to take more of your calls, 364-1100. We want to hear from you, Las Vegas. We come back on the other side. We're going to talk about some individual performances, some team statistics tonight in the box score, and look ahead to the remainder of December. So don't go away. You're listening to Rebel Extra.
Text the show by sending ESPN to 69187 or give us a call at 364-1100. This is Rebel Extra.
Back on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Bernie Fratto, John Von Tobel. Rebels win tonight, 110-71 over the Northern Arizona Lumberjacks. Brandon, we'll be right with you in just a second before we go back out to the phone lines. I want to remind everybody, December 10th, Duke UNLV at the T-Mobile. Less than 1,500 tickets remain. We want to see everybody out there. Here's your chance to be a part of a momentous occasion here in Las Vegas. Been 25 years since these two historic programs played again. Less than 1,500 tickets remain for the Duke UNLV game at the T-Mobile 2 o'clock tip Saturday, December 10th at the T-Mobile. Don't get left out. You'll be glad you went. Let's go back out to the phone lines. We're joined by Brandon. Brandon, thanks for checking in tonight at Rebel Extra.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just had two quick things. I've been around the Rebels, the athletic department here for about 3 years, working productions, doing cameras and stuff. And this team is the first team that I've seen since, I don't know, a couple years that look like they're having fun. I know it's still early in the season, but that's something that we've missed the last couple years. We've had some, like, big-name prospects we brought in, but they didn't look like they were having fun. Zimmerman didn't look like he was having fun. Rashad Vaughn sometimes looked like he was having fun. I just think this team, even if we – I think we might make a tournament because they're so close-knit, a lot better than the very flashy, you know, I'm all about me players we've had over the last couple years. So I am actually really excited about this. I know it was only NAU, but I think, you know, we got Duke, we got Kansas. I think – you guys are going to call me crazy. I think we might get one of those. We might sneak up on, like, Kansas later on in the season.
Hope you're a fixture all year, Brandon. I appreciate your optimism. I don't call anybody crazy. I've been around too long. I have a slightly differing opinion. But go ahead. You got a final thought?
No. And the other thing, I know it has nothing to do with Rebel basketball, but go Golden Knights.
Fair enough.
There you go.
Fair enough. John, we talked about this off-air. There were some gaudy statistics tonight.
This Rebel ties in perfectly to what you wanted to get into.
Yeah, 52% from the floor. They got 50 rebounds, 416 turnovers. I'm not going to read a bunch of numbers on the radio. Is this a false sense of security?
It might be. I think if you didn't go to the game and if you just casually glance at a box score and if you're a follower of this program, you might get some expectations that you really shouldn't have. And you mentioned it earlier in the program is they need a test, and they're going to get that test on Friday. So I think you can take from this game and the last three. Look, like I mentioned, they look like they're improving from game to game. And so let's see when a real Power 5 opponent comes to town on Friday. A former assistant comes to town, so it'll be a big game. You know, a lot of Rebel fans probably be out here, or should be. But that's another story. But anyway, don't take a lot out of this one, is what I would say. There's some things you can look at and be like, okay, good. Let's see if they translate to the next game against a real opponent and a balanced opponent at that. TCU, they're playing pretty well. They just won yesterday against a good Illinois State team. They're playing well.
We also, I believe, get Southern Illinois later in the year. Mm-hmm. Look, regardless of the opponent. No one can deny the Rebels pushed tempo tonight. They played with a lot of energy. They were very aggressive on both sides of the ball. They gave Northern Arizona nothing. Their ball movement was improved. They were very active hands defensively. They got a lot of deflections. I like the way they pushed tempo after made baskets. I like the way they pushed tempo after missed baskets. Mm-hmm. I like the way that guys were looking to make a play. The Rebels had six players in double figures tonight. Jalen Poyser at 17. Ochio Fabu at 10. Tyrell Green, 15. Georgios Slivanchin in the three threes. Your man, 15 points. Troy Baxter, 13. Javon Mooring, 15. And You can't take that away. In college athletics, there's typically better athletes on one side of the ball in every sport. Most of the games. Not always, but most of the games. And so, as Pete Rose once said, winning a game in college athletics is like driving a stagecoach. Without the horses, you're not going forward. Northern Arizona just didn't have the horses. They had a couple kids. Jordan Martin had 21 points tonight.
Vegas local.
Yes, and Mike Green, 17. But beyond that, they were overmatched. And you're supposed to win these games, and they won it in gaudy fashion. So what does translate? What did you see tonight that might translate against an Arizona State, an Oregon, a TCU, maybe even a Kansas or a Duke?
I would think defensive intensity, because defense a lot of the times is just what kind of effort do you want to bring on that side of the ball. And today we saw them actually really active on the defensive side of the floor. And they were getting there. And, you know, it's funny. You mentioned Chris Wynn texting in saying he was surprised with their athleticism. Looking at this team, I don't know, I guess a surprise is a term or a good term for it, but they have a lot of length. You know, when you're watching them out there,
Arizona was bothered.
Yeah, and when you're watching them out there, the length is surprising, especially when they keep sticking their hands in passing lanes. And you saw it with Dwayne Morgan, who had an awesome defensive game today, just mucking up the lanes and everything, getting deflections, getting turnovers off of it, and that turned into fast break. So I think if one thing translates is if they want to be a decent defensive team, they have all the personnel to do it. They just have to keep on it.
We do have the personnel, I think, to at least give the effort, and they are having fun. Brandon, the caller, was right. This team is smiling and having fun. and you would expect to when you're up 30. I want to digress for just a second, go back to Dwayne Morgan. I just run hot and cold on him. I've always liked him as an energy guy. He's not a stats guy. He's athletic. He can defend. And when he plays within the framework of the scheme that the coach has put on the floor, he can be highly productive. But I got to ask you a question. Why does he ever shoot a three? I mean, I want to my teeth itch every time I watch him shoot. Matter of fact, he took a horrible three in the first half tonight, and then he looks at Coach Menzies on the bench and goes, ah, that's me, that's my bad, or whatever he said, something like that. And then you could just see Coach Menzies and look on his face. Then why did you do it?
Yep.
Don't do it.
Dwayne needs to take threes, because I noticed that right away too. And Dwayne, I think, needs to take – he can take a three, but it's only those wide open – you know, those wide open threes where you're alone in the corner at the top of the key and nobody's – and you have a second to set yourself and take it. But other than that, I think when you watched him today, he had some awkward shots. I think definitely the offensive game –
he's awkward. That's a good – his feet are never set properly when he takes a three.
Yeah, he's definitely – his offensive game's definitely awkward. And there's some times where he kind of just chucks it up there, it looks like. You know, but then we see – I can understand why he's so frustrating, because then we see against which game where they were playing the zone, I believe it was Fullerton, and he breaks the zone. He hits two straight jumpers, you know, on the right side at the baseline. So he definitely, the offensive game needs some polish, but defensively, he looks like he could be their best defensive player.
Well, his role should be as a defensive energy guy and a guy who's like a cockroach in a plate of spaghetti, fall and mess things up for the other team and, you know, take a charge, get a rebound, box out, get us going on the break. Coach Menzies never stops coaching. He did a couple things tonight. Really impressed me. I know that even when the Rebels got up pretty big, they're up like 34-13 at one point, 38-18, and he called timeout because the Rebels got a little sloppy, a little careless, and one particular possession, Jovan Morgan's come up the floor, and he threw it in the seats, and he said, you had Chris Clyburn open in the corner. They're up 20. He never stops coaching. We're wrapping it up, JVT. What are your final thoughts about tonight's game and looking ahead to TCU?
Speaking of coaching, how much did Marvin Menzies have to do with Chris Clyburn ditching the undershirt? Did you notice this? Right? So I wonder how much he was like, look, Chris, it's restricting your limit. Come on, just take it off.
Clyburn showed some flashes again tonight. Yep. You get this,
he's getting healthy.
If you get this team healthy, he gets healthy with his hip or his knee, whatever it may be, Dembele with his foot, Christian Jones with his foot, you're going to have a lot of options.
Yeah, and so my final thoughts, I would just say defensive intensity was what impressed me. So you want to see that carry over against TCU, who is going to be your first real big test of the season.
It's going to be a fun week ahead. You've got TCU Friday night. You've got the either Western Kentucky or Washington Saturday. Then a week from tomorrow, Todd Simon in Southern Utah, first true road game.
Three games within, what, 5 days, 6 days? That's pretty
good.
You're
going to love it. And by the way, December 10th, Duke, T-Mobile, 2 o'clock, only 1,500 tickets remain. Don't get left out. All right, that's going to do it for tonight's edition of Rebel Extra. On behalf of my broadcast team, producer extraordinaire Bobby Machado and John Von Tobel, I'm Bernie Fratto bidding you good night. Next up for the Run of Rebels, Friday night, 7:30 versus TCU and Ryan Miller. So we'll see you then. In the meantime, tonight's final score of the UNLV Run of Rebels, 110, the Northern Arizona Lumberjacks, 71. Good night, folks. Drive safely and enjoy this golden night in the history of the city of Las Vegas.